Everything's going good. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. God's delivered on his promise. God's brought the promise to come to pass. Now I have a child of promise. Now I have a son. Now descendants can come for me as God has promised. Everything's going great. Everything's wonderful. And in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when our faith is discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 3 of an obedient faith.
Abraham, well advanced in age, Sarah as well. Both of them promised a child, but remain barren. Years of struggle, that's testing, is it not? That is testing. Can you imagine walking through that land? Yet you see that land right there, Abraham? Yes, that's yours. Just not right yet. Your family, your children are going to live here. This will be a great place to build a city, Abraham, but not yet. Could you imagine that? That's like sitting a bowl of ice cream out in front of a chubby kid and say, don't eat it. I love ice cream. Ice cream does not last long around our house. It don't matter what it is. It goes, and I'm the one that usually eats it. However, after years of struggling, think about this. They struggled prior to the promise. They tried to conceive a child before the promise, and then years afterwards, they tried to conceive a child. Yes, in old age, they tried to conceive a child. This is when we take matters in our own hands when we're tested. How many of you have taken matters in your own hands before? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? Trying to get God to do what he promised to do is never a good idea. Taking God at his word and being patient is key. God is God all by himself. He don't need our help, amen? God was testing their patience. And remember this, components of faith. There's many components of faith. Patience is one. Patience is one for sure. Patience will determine obedience. Time will test our patience, but God exists. He operates outside our understanding of time. Our impatience will dictate a fleshly response rather than an obedient faith response. Abraham and Sarah could not see how God could put a bun in the oven when the oven was broke. So what do? We go find us a new oven then. We find us a new oven. We find us an oven that works. Sarah, your oven doesn't work. We need to find a working stove, a working oven. So how can we do this? How can we fix this problem? We got it. We have people. We have people. They belong to us. They're our property. So let's find one that has a working oven. Hagar, hey, she'll work. You know what Abraham says? Sure. I mean, what could go wrong with this plan? What could go wrong with this plan? I mean, surely Sarah realizes, hey, Hagar is my property. Anything that's born to her, that belongs to her, belongs to me. What could go wrong with this plan? Of course, we know this choice doesn't go as planned. Finally, after years and years of turmoil, and I'm skipping ahead, Sarah and Hagar, they have tension, and they're sent away. Ishmael has a purpose. We understand that. But he was the product of the flesh. He was not a product of the promise. He was not a product of faith. God promised a product of the Spirit, a product of faith, not of the flesh. Look at this, and I'll skip on down. Let's go to Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read through this quickly. When Abraham was 99 years old, so 75 when he's called out, if I do the math correct, that's 24 years, right? 24 years, he's followed God. He's taken God at his word. He's left his family. He's left his God. He's fallen the one true God. He's believing for children to be born to him, and he has none. He's believing God to give him a homeland, yet he has nothing. He lives in tents. He dwells as a wanderer. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, and I need to make sure that I'm saying that and make sure that we understand this. His name is still Abram at this time. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. You want to know what that means? Just obey me. Obey me. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Verse 3, then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. See, I would have stopped God there and said, hey, by the way, you know, I don't have one yet. I don't have one yet. And you're saying I'm going to be a father of many nations? I have one father. I have one son, but he's not the son of the promise, obviously. He's not the one. No longer, verse 5, shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you a nation, make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their descendants for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Verse 8, also I give you to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God, what happens is Abraham has his, and Sarah have their Ishmael deal. God shows up, and he goes, listen, that's not the plan. The plan is still good. I just need you back on board. I just need to get back on track here. I've still made a promise to you. The promise is good. The promise is valid. But here's what I need you to do. You're going to be a father of many nations. Your kings are going to come from you. You're going to have many descendants. But first thing I need you to do, I need you to do one more thing. One more thing. I need you to change your name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of many. Now remember, Abraham, I like to say this, Abraham's like a warlord. Okay? If you remember, he has hundreds of soldiers, right? When Lot gets in trouble, Abraham helps go in to rescue him. He's got a detachment, he's got people who work for him. This guy's got money, but he has no land. It's not his. He has nothing to really put his business upon. He owns nothing. He's a stranger in the land. God says, all right, I need you to do this one thing. Now remember, he has hundreds of people working for him. I want you to change your name from Abram to Abraham. Now, can you imagine the next day, Father Abram? No, it's Abraham. Do what? What are you talking about? Your name's Abram. No, it's Abraham now. Now, names meant something. Names meant something to them back then. They're thinking, this guy has drank the Kool-Aid again. First of all, he drags us all the way from our homeland. He drags us away from our families. He follows this one true God guy who has not delivered anything yet, and he actually thinks at his age, him and his wife are going to have a child. And now he wants us to call him Abraham. Do you know how foolish that looks? Do you know what obedience that takes? Are you following me now? Do you see the picture? See, God calls him to change his name before he has that child. By faith, Abraham, I want you to obey me. By faith, obey me. That's the action. That's the action. Abraham, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to obey me. I want you to obey me. Not just to believe me, obey me. And remember this, and I know this is not a pretty picture, but again, Sarah didn't conceive by immaculate conception. God didn't put the bun in the oven. They had action together. It takes faith. It takes faith. Without child, obediently, Abraham obeys God, tells everyone, call my name. My name shall be Abraham, according to the promise of God. Fast forward a year later, Isaac's born, correct? 25 years of waiting, 25 years of patience, 25 years of trusting God finally comes to that. Could you imagine what joy? Can you imagine the celebration even amongst the servants, even amongst the people? Can you imagine what took place when this guy who is 100 years old has a child and his wife's 90 at this time? Hello, that's a miracle, is it not? Can you imagine that if that took place? Everything's going good. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. God's delivered on his promise. God's brought the promise to come to pass. Now I have a child of promise. Now I have a son. Now descendants can come for me as God has promised. Everything's going great. Everything's going wonderful. We don't know how long it takes, but years pass. And in Genesis 22, verses 1 through 2, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. God tested Abraham, did he not? Tested him. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. We understand the story when we look back in Genesis. Abraham raises his knife to slay his son, and God knows it's almost like God, hey! Okay, I know you mean business. I understand, I got it. Could we obey God to that measure? See, that's why his example of faith is so important to us. And that's why he is the father of faith. Because his faith was not just belief. His faith has action. And his faith had the action of obedience. Obedience to the place where he understood, listen, God delivered this son. If he's able to make a bun appear in her oven, and we're able to reproduce at our ages, he can do anything. I don't care. I'm just going to trust him, and I'm going to obey him. Don't you want to get to that place to where God speaks that you just obey? Man, I don't know about you. I want to get there. Because I believe we miss so much as God's people through our disobedience, even when it's small. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, sometimes we get ourselves in the way, our feelings. Well, God, you gave me, I can't give my son, I can't give away this promise. I've waited too long. It's been too long. It's too hard. I can't do it. Can you imagine yourself in that position? Is your faith similar to Abraham's? And what I mean is this, is your faith action based upon a belief sustained by confidence? Or is your faith conceptual? Meaning this, it's mental, it's intellectual, it's emotional. A faith that proclaims to know God, but is void of obeying God. Church, that's not faith. It's belief. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. We are saved by grace through faith, not belief. Abraham's faith comprised of belief, confidence, action, and that was all demonstrated when he obeyed. Our father faith demonstrated an obedient faith. Years of trials and testings. What does your faith demonstrate? You see, we understand this, that God gave him a figurative promise, right? God gave him a figurative action. There was a type and a shadow that occurred there. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son in the region of Moriah. One of the mountains I'll show you. And I believe this to be true, and I think that we can look through different writings and different descriptions and understand the mountains of Moriah, the region of Moriah is where Jerusalem is today. And now I believe it would be that very hill. Because of the writings that we see in Hebrews and the writings throughout the Word of God, it's not by accident that I believe that Jesus was crucified on that same hill, on that same mountain, on Golgotha, on Calvary, later on. God fulfilled that promise years later through his son, amen. Even if it wasn't on that mountain, God still fulfilled that promise.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The Word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, or adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.